and to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of
more... Be quiet. I order you to be quiet. Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look!
Just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I'm in such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
You're what?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Welcome one, welcome all, and it is that time for Roundtable Live here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. Be rolling on until 4 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time. New ideas, different hosts every night, different subjects every night. You never know what's going to happen right here at the Roundtable Live. King Arthur has nothing on us. We're going round and round.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Keith AZ Live. This is Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and this time slot is reserved for Keith AZ Live. And as always, please do support the network. Take a couple minutes, make a donation, big or small. This is 100% volunteer, all the way up through the very top. And it's a joy to get to participate in this. You know, I once thought of it. It came to me that this is sort of like tithing. You know, it's like you try to put a certain amount of your energy into something for just the general spiritual good, right? And anyway, that's I mean, there's for me there anyway. There's some feeling in that way. And of course, I've had discussions recently that. Being generous is the most selfish thing you can do. And of course, you know, you're behaving selflessly at the time and you may be rather doing something else, right? You may have your own plans and, but somebody needs some help and you do it. Anyway, that's an opportunity for us. And I believe every time we do that, act selflessly, we get lit up a little bit. Anyway, just some crazy thoughts. We do have Conrad with us tonight. We'll probably open up the phones at some point. Probably not till the second hour. There's a lot to talk about, isn't there? Oh man, Trump did his first rally since the scamdemic, and it was quite interesting. You know, it is really interesting to see these people talking so honestly. I mean, he just straight up says it. You know, he's talking about Biden, and he continues to be the most hilarious president ever. And love him or hate him, I mean, the guy is hilarious. And they like to say you either love him or hate him, and no, I think there's plenty of room in between. And I think there's an agenda to divide us, right? You've got to be on the left or the right. Well, no, you don't. In fact, the whole left-right argument is a narrative that they present to you as if it's fact, when in fact it's their wet dream. You know, you've got to stay at home and you got to wear masks and oh my God, you know, and all this stuff. I think it was a bioweapon that, anyway, I've told the story before, but it came out of a lab for sure. And I think they've got a upgraded version ready to deploy. In fact, it looks like some researchers, I think it was Simon Parks who mentioned this, that it looks like they may have already deployed it in Beijing. So we'll see, man. I don't know. I do think they've got their latest batch of whatever they can come up with that they believe will do a better job than this last one. So, you know, we're in it now. We're in it, boy. Boy, are we ever in it. But on the flip side, you know, I've got to tell you, I'm very optimistic. They're pulling out their last weapons. I think James Gilliland and John Vivanco last night on As You Wish Talk Radio, which I never miss. To me, that's like my Oprah at this point. of all the people talking, for me, I'm convinced he's 100% legitimate in what he is relaying to us, and really is coming from a heart place. And meeting him in person, you know, you can get such a much better read of his energies. And hung out and chatted with. Actually, he was at one point he was demonstrating. I think it was Tai Chi, but it was one of those type of art or whatever you want to call it. I forget the best way to say it, but you know, where you do like these exercises of moving the body really slowly and breathing and all this stuff. And the guy really is genuine. That doesn't mean I wouldn't that there's potential for disagreement. You know, I don't buy into anybody as the sole authority. That's reserved. You know what I'm saying? Use your own mind. And that's really what we've got to escape. You know, this is why I always come back to, you know, with all the chaos we see around us and the machinations. Boy, did Catherine Austin Fitz relay some scary stuff last night with Greg Hunter on USA Watchdog. And, you know, talking about some of the stuff that, you know, otherwise I would have no idea of. I mean, you don't get this from the news anywhere. Even the heavy-duty economist people, you know, she's really got her finger to the pulse of some really deep levels of the dark cabal and their financial machinations. You know, at this point, the Trump administration is in a state of emergency, so Trump has really broad authorities right now. The Federal Reserve has essentially been absorbed into the Department of Treasury. So what's happened, you know, the mechanics of that are that the Federal Reserve is now the loan guarantor for the Department of Treasury. And so they're just issuing trillions at zero interest, which means that if that money actually goes to something that produces return, like infrastructure, this is huge. I mean, the number is so astronomically off the charts anyway that there's more. If these guys had their way, they would hoodwink us into buying into believing that there's more money owed than there are assets ever to pay for them, right? Already. You know, so this is play money. This is monopoly money. And the Positive Alliance is using their sword against them. So he's going to apply that to all kinds of rebuilding, and you know, these cities that are burning, and you know, and the opportunity zone legislation that was passed to revitalize urban blight. You know, these things are going to be applied. And I think, for instance, you know, I think the economy is actually, how many people were telling you that there's no way around it, the economy is going to totally crash? And I was the voice, perhaps the lone voice. Thanks, Flippy, for hassling me on my pronunciation. No, I screw things up. I'm sorry. I just do. I talked about that before. I think it's a brain defect. I don't know. It's just like there's certain neurons that aren't connecting. And I do apologize. I think for the most part, my diction's pretty good and vocabulary is pretty good. And I tell you, I get a lot of stuff right that I hear people mispronouncing a lot. So anyway, I'm just being overly defensive now. I even lost my whole thread on that, right? So we're into talking about how we are being fed a narrative, which is false, but it's being presented as the real deal. And so, for instance, with this COVID outbreak, the entire globe was in lockstep. I mean, obviously, this is the bankers, the private central banking, you know, hoodlums is far too nice a word for them. Satanic dark worshipers would be a better one, I'm sure, at any rate. So if we awaken and realize, like Neo in the Matrix, it gets brought up over and over again because the analogy is so apt. We've got to break away from feed, you know, that feed of horse crap they're selling us on a 24/7 basis, right? And start actually perceiving reality for what it is. And of course, we've talked about many of the opportunities we have with all the different types of disciplines there are to sharpen your mind and your spirit and deal with your traumas. And so that's what you need to do is as we light ourselves up, believe me, it shines light in the darkness. And even if you never say a darn thing to your relative or spouse that totally thinks the opposite politically from you, you know, you don't have to get in an argument with them or a long discussion where you ultimately come to have to agree to disagree. You just radiate the light, man, and it gets picked up. And you also do it in as far as creating the causal reality, because everybody's trying to sell you an agenda that's, it's going to happen this way, it's going to happen that way, this is going to happen for sure, there will be nuclear war, or there will be total economic collapse. Well, I've been saying, you know, think about it forever, right? That, you know, I don't know that it's going to play out that way. I think there's a real possibility, and with any future, it's very fluid, especially now more than ever, about how things will play out. I mean, it's free for all right now. I'm telling you, the bad guys and the good guys are having at it. I mean, they're just having at it. And the war is surfacing, and we got people declaring their own little sovereign little, I don't know what you want to call it, you know, capital free zone. I forget what CHAZ stands for. But, you know, that's insanity. And the good guys are letting them play out while suppressing the other ones. One of the things you got to realize is this is – so the COVID fizzled. Well, the riots fizzled big time too. Just one example I guess it was the mayor in Washington, D.C., I think it was the Capitol building. She ordered as much National Guard to depart. Right, said don't nothing to see here. Right, you guys go home and whatever, and tried to eliminate any kind of crowd control. And then we went to go remove the barriers, and the White House security said, "I don't think so. We ain't taking these down." And by the way, we got a couple thousand other guys, you know, dudes here with all their, you know, riot gear and such. And not only that, they arrested a ton of them. There's a lot of different ancillary stories. I'm unaware of any source that isn't giving me any more than secondhand. So I can't point you to anything to vet it and say this absolutely is true. But I know it's true because I'm just resonating with the morphogenic field. I just see it. So, I mean, this has been happening for a long time now. We do have, I mean, if you follow the threads of all this stuff about all the arrests and they went after the organization. They didn't so much bother with the little local thugs who saw a chance to be powerful and go for these stupid ideas that they're being presented with, you know, for socialism and communism. And the ends justify the means. So it's okay to firebomb a church, right? So at any rate, so a bunch of those people have been rounded up, and that's why the plan was for the riot stuff to spread like wildfire. They wanted this to happen all over the place. And so they're letting it happen in Seattle just to say, hey, everybody, look, see, this is totally insupportable. Trucks won't go in there. I think somebody was murdered there. And so they had to let, I guess, emergency medical people in and police in. This lawlessness is no goats. This is normal people aren't, you know, that I believe what these unfortunate fools that have bought into this are finding out that it doesn't really work as the way they thought it would be, and that they're not as unified as they thought they would be, and that tons of criminals. Oh yeah, that's another thing they did. You know, they said, well, they're releasing inmates from correctional facilities because of the COVID, right? BS. I mean, they're in a secure facility where they're not interacting with the general public. So that logic is totally on its head. I mean, it's just yet another one of those opposites that they use for dissociative programming. But at any rate, so that guy, Brooks or whatever his name was in Atlanta, he was recently released inmate because of the COVID stuff. So they want to instigate terror and chaos and all this stuff. Anyway, so that's a little preamble. I'm very talkative tonight. Like I said, I'm not sure. We'll see about calls, but we'll probably take them in the second hour, if not sooner. But let's introduce our great friend, Conrad. Welcome to the show. How are you this evening?
Well, thank you very much. I'm doing really good. And did a giant organizing today of a house that I'm working on. And boy, is it different having everything organized and not tripping over everything all day long. So I feel like I cleared some space. So this download is happening here, and it's fairly illuminating. It explains a little bit about things going on the other side of the veil, so I thought I'd start with that. And it goes, a new day has dawned, so wake up and let the higher vibration of love wash over you. You folks are so amazing and wonderful to watch. It is awesome to behold. Obviously, this is coming from the higher domain. Your radiance and countenance, your radiance and steps forward on your path is your mission in motion. If you could lift up the corner of the veil a little higher, you would be so surprised on what you would see. So what would you see? You would see your guardian angels and spirit guides. You would see your spiritual family / soul group. You would see the place where your actual spirit dwells. And you would see the buildings and library where you study and learn. You would visit with your spiritual advisors and see where you are on your evolutionary path. You would feel the awesome love of home and know that it is real and that the Creator is. You would see your spirit living in peace without strife, without pain, and without fear, and only existing in love. Without the veil, you would be constantly wanting to go home. That's the reason it's there. So when things become a little rough and rocky is when you would be wanting to go home, I'm presuming, I mean. Now that the veil is thinning a bit, you are sensing information that makes you question your validity as a real human being. You are not this human part that you play, my beloveds. Know this for sure in your hearts. As the journey continues on the planet Earth, know that there is a higher vision that is playing out into perfection. Even when it seems there is no hope, understand that the last cards have not been played yet. Your evolution is always in motion. Your evolution and all evolution is always in motion, just with a different cast, different location, or a different screenplay. You're always in a learning and evolving mode, no matter what side of the veil you're on. You will always be within your true eternal form, regardless of any other incarnations you choose to participate in. Your true eternal form stays behind when you are incarnation, and the two of you, you and your higher self, stay connected. The incarnated essence that you have has only a tiny speck of the energy essence that you truly are. The true eternal form has the balance of the eternal energy essence. The true eternal form is your higher self. That's who it is. Does this now help you connect the dots to the term higher self? That's my report. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you. That was very beautiful, very interesting. You know, this is one of my favorite topics, of course, connecting with our higher selves and bringing more of that connection into our physical reality. What else was I going to, you know, some people, some people are losing hope, right? The couple of hosts I watched recently said, oh man, I was really losing hope and now I feel a little better. And other people are just like, look, the administration hasn't arrested anybody. Forget about it. You know, forget about it. It was just a hoax meant to think us, we actually got somebody, you know, that's doing some good here. Well, think about your connection to your higher self. You're the one that's radiating out the reality that then condenses into physical manifestation. So don't lose hope in yourself. That's really all you got to have. Which is the connection to Creator, your higher self, then the connection to the very source. It's interesting, by the way, Conrad, you may want to comment on this, about the thinning of the veils that we've been talking about for so long here. Fact that I never thought of it, but that, yeah, it's lets more information in. And that's, you know, we're already pretty much, I would suggest, a good percentage anyway of this audience. I know for myself anyway, it's true. I feel overwhelmed. I felt overwhelmed my whole life trying to solve this reality thing, you know, the day job thing and the relationship thing and all that. And you're like, what the hell? Oh, man. So I think it's true. You may know this, Conrad, but isn't it true that that's the very meaning of apocalypse, is the removal of the veil so that all is there to see? And it's like, it's going to be too much. People's heads are exploding right now. Any thoughts or response, my friend?
Yeah, sure. It comes down, I was just listening to Eckhart Tolle, who is at first, for me, a little difficult to tune into. And then he'll have a topic which you really resonate with, and he'll nail it, just absolutely nail it. What he says is that quieting the chatter, you know, and what your ego is doing, and getting actually into the moment, bringing yourself to focus on the moment of now, is the basis and crucial for manifesting. Can't really manifest until you're here now. And it makes sense if you think about it. Makes sense if you don't think about it, actually. But by being in the moment, you then can get centered, and you're at that point in your heart space, and you can really manifest. Before, if you're not centered and you're not in the moment, you really don't know what to manifest. So it's getting control or getting centered on where you are, and then you have the to manifest and relate to other people. And so simple, if somebody came to the store, they have this thing now where they bring meals from any restaurant. And just the fact that he was there and present, the guy that delivered it just really enjoyed the few moments that had this interaction. And you see that even just, I don't know, being in a store, just going through the checkout line, you know. If you're right there in the moment, it works better than if you're half dazed in the line thinking of something else. So anyway, his point was well taken, and that's kind of my comment on what you were saying.
Well, that's perfect. I think there's so many levels to continue with that thread. you know, you said turn down the mind chatter. Yes, and that involves all these disciplines that we talk about on this show. And when you do that, see, because so say you want to use the tools of manifestation, and I'm going to visualize it. I read the book The Secret and saw the video, you know, bought the T-shirt and everything, right? So now I can get my perfect relationship, right? Because I'm going to manifest the girl of my dreams. And while what's happening in the subconscious level is you have trauma. You say, you know, the last relationships, or in my case, 10, I don't know, whatever, that last girl, she hurt me and then she left me. And that inner child and that deeper part of yourself, you have never really learned how to form a connection with and start to turn down that trauma. And also, so many of people self-identify with just the mind. And so it's a loss of ego, a death, if you will, death of ego, to be able to open up to these powers of manifestation. But once you do that kind of discipline, and you can get your this is my personal opinion anyway, and I don't know if this is written in a book anywhere or not, but it's my conclusion from what I've sorted out, is that you've got to get the heart and the mind asking for the same thing. So that's like I said, so you had this trauma, the last girl left me and hurt me, and that's operating in your subconscious. So that's in your heart. It's in that deeper, that vast area that's everything outside of your ego, really, your mind chatter, and you haven't learned to connect with that, you know. But then you learn about the rainbow bridge and about turning on the mind chatter and about really tuning into your heart. And what does your heart's desires really want? And connect that with your mind's desires, and you realize, oh, I've got my little inner child is scared of this girl. He's scared. Oh, you know, it's going to hurt me. And then you really work through that and, you know, kind of heal all that trauma and realize, wow, I was messed up too at that time. No wonder she left me. I wasn't, you know, whatever. You know, I was giving all my power away to her. And so I became empty, and of course she left me. I don't know. Any responses, my friend, especially on the rainbow bridge connecting? I think when you connect the heart and the mind with the same intention, that's when you really, just an opinion on my part. Any thoughts, my friend?
Well, my thought on the relationship angle is you really have to be in the moment, and you have to really communicate and be there for that person so that they feel some sense of it. If you're doing 10 things, you know, how can they say, what was it they used to say in the 70s? How can you be in two places at once when you're nowhere at all? I think relationships fall just for that very point.
Well, it comes to ultimately the journey we're on is knowing ourselves, right? Know thyself. That sounds, you know, really cute and like, oh, yeah, I'm good at hockey, and I have a nice cat, you know, and that's who you are. No, you're so much. What that I think really means is know all the multidimensional aspects of yourself. And as you become self-realized, then of course, it's just like you're channeling a higher energy flow. It's like you're this little stream, and then you join with the river of yourself and the greater connection, and then you get into a lake, and then into a vast ocean that is so you know, and you don't feel empty anymore. You feel the fullness of the reality of the connection, that all is one. I mean, that's the message. So it's so interesting. Our good friend, fellow host on the network, Stephen, with the show Factor Theory, had Steve Bassett on, who I met so many years ago. He was hanging out with the producer of the event. You know, this is a couple thousand people attending. This is a big UFO. It was called the UFO Expo, the Bay Area UFO Expo. They're in right by San Jose Airport at Mountain View, and really wonderful event. And so we were hanging out after the event. We all went out, including Steve Bassett, and had breakfast. And very interesting guy, but you know, I have some problems with many of the things he said about that. And talking about things as an absolute certainty, like this will happen, and that will, and that's why. And you know, this the in-depth analysis, as if that's is the full of it. When it's so many, I mean, right now, so many things are happening simultaneously, of good and bad. Really bad things are going on too. The dark cabal is using this event, and again, it's globally orchestrated. I mean, that's the calling card. And I'll tell you what, the things they don't try are just as revealing as the things they, I mean, the things they do try are really revealing about what their extent of their powers are and what they're able to. So I'm positing to you all that they wanted considerably, I mean, at least 10 times, more like 100 times the amount of violent revolt in all these different cities. And so they let it happen in certain places, like the Seattle situation, but they shut it down in others. They just, there's no way they're going to let, and they knew their plans ahead of time, and they had to let them deploy. So that then, because, you know, we know the judicial system. I mean, Trump has installed almost 300 judges, but that's only a fraction of the amount of them that are corrupt that need to be replaced. And even then with those 300, I mean, who knows how many of those were compromised. They may just be less compromised or slightly more. Who knows? I mean, in other words, it's a broad spectrum of people, and they could easily be as bought out. So they've got to come in when these indictments are unsealed. They've got to have it just like black and white, like you did this and you supplied the firebombs and the training and the money to pay these people and to go be violent and destroy property and injure and even kill. Some people have been killed. So they've got them down to rights. So even with all this money that the Soros organizations and such are throwing at them and providing them with lawyers and stuff, so when they're arrested, you know, they can post bail and, you know, take care of their little minions. But I'll tell you what, the organizers, up the food chain a couple steps has been, and maybe even further up, you know, some of the more you know, we're talking low level managers for sure, but maybe some of the higher ones. I mean, I don't know. That's just what I'm seeing. Any thoughts there, Conrad? I mean, do you have any analysis of that?
Well, I was listening to Bill Barr. He did about a 40-minute interview, and it was really fabulous.
It was great. I watched it too.
Yeah, it's
Maria Bartiromo.
Yeah, exactly. The most riveting thing that he repeated several times, she kept asking him, well, what is it? There seems to be two different justice systems, you know, two different sets of laws or two different groups of people. And he said, well, it's what I'm doing is getting back to one system, which is equal for everybody. That's our system, is to have one system of law that everybody is subject to the same law or supported with the same law. And that really is the point. It's not going back and arguing the case of what has, you know, things that have happened. That's a different area of prosecution, you know, if they broke the law in the past. But the fact that we have one law, and that's what our government is, our representatives are putting in place, that's what will work, and that's what we need. So he's right on with that.
I was really, really pleased with what he said, just like I was talking about. Oh, by the way, did you watch the Trump rally?
Yes, I did, and I was also taking a course at the same time, which I went. It's you can do two things at once. I finally turned the volume down on the course so I could listen to the rally, and then when it started repeating on the rally, I turned the volume down on that, turned the course back up, and found out how to make cash flow on projects that you have going, and so I gained a lot between the two programs.
Yeah, but what struck me was how similar they both Barr and Trump sounded. I mean, they're just laying it out there. And Maria Bartiromo also just totally kicked ass. Her questions were awesome. I was really pleased. She asked him, Bill Barr, what about, you know, are you going to prosecute people in this election cycle? Is there a problem with that as being viewed to, you know, as if you're Trump's henchman, right? Your wingman. So, and I loved his response. He said, the law is the law. And, you know, we're going to, as you were saying, Conrad, we're going to be applying this, you know, without any political bias either way. And certainly there will be many who will say that it is politically motivated, and that's just the breaks. You know, we're going to do it.
she asked him, does Trump confer with you on this? And he said, I confer with the president all the time because – his goal is for the Justice Department to do its job. And if it's within the doors of the Justice Department, that's my job and that's what I do. I mean, he was really cut to the quick, you know.
Oh, I loved it. It wasn't political at all. He wasn't holding back. He was just straight up telling the facts, just the facts, ma'am. And he says the hammer's coming down, right? And when asked why he didn't – now, you may remember correctly or better than me, but she asked him, you know, what about – many people were disappointed that, you know, where Flynn is getting prosecuted and Comey wasn't for lying. You know, Comey actually really did lie under oath. So this is to Congress. So this is a fact, Jack, and more than once, by the way. Why didn't you prosecute him? And he said, well – you know, there's issues with the judiciary, I think, was his response. Do you remember?
Yeah, it's a different investigation. I mean, you can't. You have to keep them separate, and different people are doing the investigation, and it'll all come out in the wash. I mean, basically, it's the summation of what he said.
Well, it was so pleasing to see Rick Grenell come in as the acting DNI chief or whatever they call the head guy there and release all that, declassify all that stuff. And now we got John Ratcliffe. So the declassifications and the legal case against these people has really jumped up a notch. And so everybody, listen, the bad guys are pulling out the stops. One of the other, you know, so they're going to have it totally, completely wrapped up for these prosecutions where there is no wiggle room. And even a corrupt judge is going to have to rule that they straight up violated the law. You know, they're going to be hardcore on this and that people are going to go down. May not start till after Trump's inaugurated. And by the way, he will win in a landslide. Well, I think it was you probably watched James Gilliland's show last night, too. But I think he said, you know, the new I've said this, too, but not in the way he said it, because the sources I've had, Brooks Agnew and James McCaney, both said it was the NSA that switched the votes back to their original vote. But they knew Hillary would be elected because they had the system rigged and it was unrigged. That's why all the newscasters' jaws were dropping. God, I love that night. I remember watching these, you know, just the different YouTube feeds of the different channels of CNN and MS, just to see them start to, as the night went on and as their jaws got lower and lower to the floor. You know, and I think it was Brian Williams admitting, wow, we were wrong in our predictions. You know, well, it's because you knew, or at least your supervisors or whoever, your editor in chiefs or whoever the guys are that tell you what your three top leads are, knew the fix was in. And it was unfixed. And James said it was actually by Pleiadians. Did you hear that? Or did you watch that, his show last night?
Yeah, that's what Viking and I went to the Gilliland Ranch last summer. And so we got to hang out with James Gilliland for like 3 days. And I was so, sort of unaware of how he could hit and really get to the bottom of things. And then there's a lot of clearing with the whole group every time he starts something before he brings in any ETs forward to talk. And that clearing, it was the most amazing thing. I really believe in the validity of clearing. It's just like you say this little thing that he gives you, a little card on there, and you clear, you get rid of a lot of blockage or programming. So clearing is really a valuable tool.
Well, that's what my mom's been teaching me for almost 40 years. And the first, is owning your own space. That's why I say occupy yourself. So, because if you don't, some other entity will, guaranteed. Clearing unseen entities and vampiric type of what we call cord, psychic cording. But what it amounts to is psychic vampirism, which happens, by the way, both from people who are incarnate and people who aren't, and as well as other types of beings. But it mostly happens. I mean, after four decades, I can say in my experience, it's mostly spouses and bosses and people that are in your sphere that view you as an energy source for whatever reason, whether it's security or heart or whatever they're afraid that they won't get enough of. And so they have to get it from you. And it goes back forever and generational. So you clear yourself, as you were saying, Conrad, and clear the space you're in. And because especially when you start shining your own light, you will attract negative attention, unwanted attention for sure. That's going to want to feed off that energy. So anyway, super interesting times, and all the dark forces are out to play. Any other thoughts you have on kind of global stuff, Conrad?
There's so much I don't know where to start, to tell you the truth. there's just a lot going on.
Nothing's popping up. That's all right. That's all right. It's interesting. We were talking. Steve Zaralath joined me last week on my Thursday show, and we were getting into reflections in the media of maybe they just are laughing at us. Some people say that the dark forces, by law, have to tell us, by universal law or spiritual law, have to tell us how they're abusing us, even if it's in small print at the very bottom of whatever it is, in some form. But I don't know. I sometimes think it's just because they're laughing at us. They view us as too stupid anyway, so they'll just put it in our faces. But also truth. I mean, so much truth comes out in movies and media. And I was thinking about Dean Koontz, who many of his books have been put into movies. And it goes to a satanic, very powerful force that is connected politically and with judiciary and police and FBIs and stuff. So they've got this network of their operatives that are in these various institutions to perpetrate their real evil, including, pedophilia and child sacrifice and, a lot of these dark subjects, which, to my understanding, are going on as we speak. Tons of that has been cleaned up. Both James Gilliland and Mike Barra both have, for all I know, it's the same person talking to both of them, but they both are reporting on an insider who are actually several different ones. Some of the forces, both in terms of a nurse and I think some of the soldiers that are going in and rescuing these children and reporting that, yeah, that's somebody I know is telling us, yes, that's exactly what's happening. So they're going up against this. So we do, again, it's secondhand. It's not something that I can point to a government website and say so-and-so was arrested for this yet. Although I guess you could say, you know, for the stuff Epstein was doing, and that there's still work being done on that, you guys. That's not done by a long shot. Again, I think it's as far as just timing for when these events happen, and they're picking their battles, right? So the dark forces are launching these lab-engineered bioweapons on us, on the global population, and orchestrating their economic shutdown, and perpetrating their misery. They want to they want people shut down in their houses or apartments or whatever till November, and then have mail-in voting, and just have jillions of their swarms, you know, produce all these illegitimate ballots and overwhelm it, you know. So that's their plan. They've got they've actually got it. Oh, by the way, I've seen a few of the Joe Biden ads recently, because, you know, with YouTube, and you turn something on and it's got paid advertising, or these little ads pop up. And Joe Biden, I mean, my God, he's so terrible. He just had a new one out. Have you seen any of those, Conrad?
A few things that I've seen have been pretty much pathetic. I mean, I feel my heart goes out in a way, because he didn't do anything for 40 years, and now all of a sudden he's got like some kind of dementia or Alzheimer's, and it's setting in. I think he's being a placeholder for the Democratic Party. I think they're planning to bring somebody else in at the last minute and then have that person appoint somebody as their vice president and then step down and a totally non-elected president. I don't know. This is just what comes into my head, but that's, you know, there's no other reason they would back Biden unless they were planning just to can him and then get two more people to come in and the totally unelected person then picks his own or her own vice president. It's just, I don't know, it could just really run off the end of the typewriter carriage like that if that's what happens.
Well, I'll tell you, I think their dream ticket would be Michelle Obama and Hillary Clinton. One is VP and one is P or POTUS, whatever. But I think both of them, I don't think it's going to work out. We'll see. I think both of them got really, really, really bad problems. I mean, Hillary lost once already to Trump.
Hillary could. Nobody at this point would tolerate Hillary Clinton.
Somebody
in a dark corner of Texas in a little tiny town would put up a poster, wanted, dead or alive. I don't know. I'm just going back to really old Western law, right? Like the old West kind of thinking. But it is, it's just too out there. You know, I mean, it's just too outside the scope of what could. I think there's plenty of people they could put in besides Hillary Clinton if they were appointing a president that would do them more good than Hillary. Hillary is she's a lame hippie. I'm sorry, but that's who she is.
Well, yeah, I would suggest she's far worse. That she's evil. Total. I mean, if we knew the stuff they did, we would be so appalled.
Even before that, when she used to run around in a dirty muumuu, basically. It was her attire. Her hair never fixed to go outside the house, and she did it anyway. And every time she caught up with Bill, everybody looked at her like, oh my God, Hillary's here. And she would always find Bill in the ladies' bathroom.
Well, at any rate, it's my opinion that neither of them, I think both of them have too many issues, and it's very complex. Hillary, first of all, they hate each other. I'm certain of that. I mean, it was the Clinton campaign and 2012, right? That released the Obama being a Kenyan born. That came from that campaign, right? So I'm certain that they hate each other, although they would do a marriage of convenience, so to speak, I'm sure, if they could. But I just don't think it can happen. Of course, we see that they have tried to position Andrew Cuomo as a potential replacement for Biden, but he's just not getting any traction.
Yeah, I used to have Barack Obama's birth certificate on my wall. I found it on the internet one time, and the doctor at that point was still, all these years later, was still serving and delivering babies, and that there was also a copy of a DC-3 ticket on a DC-3 airline that flew he and his mother. Their mother and father are both CIA spies. But anyway, she flew back with the baby and then had a lady fill out a form for a certificate of live birth. And that's how he got when they looked for his birth certificate, it wasn't there. There's no record, and Capilani Hospital doesn't lose birth certificates. There never was one. It was a certificate of live birth, which is different than a birth certificate. The neighbor lady testified that the baby was born because her mother said, fill out this form, even though I know you don't read English, but just sign here because, my son was born in outside of a hospital. That was just a crooked deal.
You know, I see. I think a lot of this stuff is going to continue to come out. Just who knows? Because once you pull on that thread, it connects. It just keeps connecting with more and more parts of the quilt. And this grid of the Dark Cabal's control system is unraveling as we speak. And so we may actually get to see some, but we have, at least I've seen this, you may have as well, a speech that Obama gave while he was president, I think, or it might have been after, I'm not sure. But he gave a speech in Kenya that he was the first Kenyan-born American president, and the whole crowd went, "Hey, yay! That's awesome!" But he was a CIA cutout, part of the dark agenda to bring America down. They were well on their way. They're still, it's so amazing that out of the willpower, the deep heart of the rising awakening of the planet's collective consciousness, that Positive Alliance was able to recruit Trump to be their front man. And it doesn't matter. I can't wait to see some presidential debates. Of course, the Dems are going to want to have all kinds of conditions and set up and control everything, but they can't help but have them. At least I would think so. I mean, I suppose they could try to run it through without a presidential debate, but I'm really looking forward to whoever they put up there to see that happen. He'll eviscerate whoever it is, especially at this point. What's that?
Trump would challenge him to a debate. I mean, and he couldn't not come. He couldn't back off and say, "No, I'm chicken to a debate." I mean, there really is no way that they could keep him out of the debates. I guess they could dress him up in a bunch of leg and arm casts, say that he's unavailable because he was in a car accident.
My guess is that he'll suddenly, when the timing is right, he'll suddenly succumb to COVID, and they'll have a a Democratic convention or something, or whatever they call it, he will donate or whatever, however the right terminology is. In essence, they'll anoint who is going to be their eventual candidate with all his already earned delegates, right? So the whoever it is will start with a huge number of delegates. And
what precludes that is there's so many, not one side or the other, voters that vote in a presidential election that they vote by what they see or what they hear from the candidates during the debates. They, you know, at one point they make up their mind, but to bring somebody in at the very last minute with like, you know, a 1% interest by the American population, which they'd have coming in that late, it just can't really happen.
Well, but I think we'll that's part of why, as we're discussing a potential replacement for Biden, is that the field is so small. Is I think any of them, any of the Democratic potential candidates are smart enough to know that they'll lose. They have, in fact, there is no chance unless there's heavy, heavy duty vote rigging, which.
Well, Cuomo from New York has a lot of name recognition now.
Yeah, that's right. They put him on center stage to test the waters to see if he could get some traction. And then he started doing a daily coronavirus podcast, which I'm sure is the most boring thing ever. I doubt I could sit through more than 30 seconds of it to sustain that conclusion. But, you know, I'm not even going to click on something like that because, I mean, just if you pay any attention to it all, negative or positive, that's
What I just threw up my hands is when he passed something that said that all people that came out of a retirement home, you know, to go to critical in the hospital, when they got released, they had to go back to the home. And no retirement home was ready to isolate people. And it just isn't what they do. And that the largest number of deaths in New York City were seniors in retirement homes. But there's the music.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
a dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Good day, wherever you are in this world. I hope you're having a great day here listening to Revolution Radio. Everybody asks for this. Revolution Radio. Where the information never sleeps.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
We are back. And we actually have somebody joining us. If anybody else wants to join, the phone lines are open. And let me see here. What year was that? I'm just sorry about that. Let me go back to the right screen. I just was checking my Skype, and there was various different messages. And let's make sure I'm back to the right screen here. What the hell? Oh, here we go. Sorry about that, everybody. We were just kind of okay, so we are going to be joined by Viking in a moment. Let me go ahead and add him here. He tried to call in. Okay. All right. Welcome back to Keith AZ Live. Sorry about that. It's that multitasking thing, you know. Anyway, we have been joined by Viking. And welcome to the show, my friend. Any thoughts you'd like to start out with here?
Hey, Keith. Hey, Conrad. As far as the presidential ticket from the Democrats, you know who's been making a lot of headway and rearing her ugly head has been Susan Rice. And I think that they're trying to work her in as a VP. And I think you're right. I mean, I thought it was Cuomo at first, but I'm not sure who they're going to be putting in as far as front runner. But Susan Rice has all of a sudden come out of, like, I don't know, stasis or something, and has been making her voice known. And I think this is very prominent and should be taken note of, because I think they're going to try to work her in. Everybody else is just too corrupt as far as, well, she's corrupt as well, but I mean, as far as having indictments and whatnot, I don't think you're going to see Hillary or Michelle on the ticket at all. I think you're right, Keith. It's just too criminal. But Susan Rice has the deviousness and the agenda down pat, so where I think that they can work her in.
She's certainly been making some noise, criticizing Trump and various things. I can't remember specifically, but I know she's her name's been getting out there, outraged about the latest whatever.
But out of the blue, we haven't heard from her in years.
I'm sorry, what was that?
It's just out of the blue. We haven't heard from her in years. All of a sudden, she's like making some sort of a statement, or, you know, she's getting herself known. She's getting her voice out there, as you're pointing out. I mean, it's out of the blue. Like, I mean, she's been dormant for what, like 5 years? You know, all of a sudden, she's like making herself known. This has been orchestrated.
Remember when she went on all those Sunday morning shows and said that it was a video that caused the whole commotion? That You know, she just was following orders and going out and perpetuating a lie. You know, that's...
No, that's okay. I was just trying to add Doctor Who.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, I think the smartest ones of them that might have the best chance are too smart to enter the race, to be honest, I think at this point. I think they ferreted out a lot of the election fraud during the 2018 midterms. And it's just, you know, they've got to crash the economy to make Trump look bad and get the mail-in voting thing going. And Trump has stated, no, we're not doing the mail-in voting thing. I mean, certain states, I think it was California, has already sent them out pre-marked for the Democrat. Anyway, we have another caller. Doc Who has joined us. Good evening, my friend.
Well, hello to three of my favorite people on the radio.
Hello, Doc.
Thank you.
Anything burning there that you want to share? Anything you want to pick up on and make comments on that we've been talking about, my friend?
Yeah, I've been listening, and I agree with both of you, and I guess Viking's probably going to have some really good ammo to pass out. Praise the Lord, pass the ammo.
Well, I did want to cover the algorithms till November, because this is a very critical time. I mean, I'd listened to your last hour. I didn't want to interrupt. I thought you and Conrad had really nice dynamics going. But you know, we're going into a period now where the Democrats are going to really unload their arsenal. And this is what's really interesting. Conrad and I and Chris on our after show were graced with a Tuathan elf, and she's from the lineage of Lemuria, and she was able to share with us how the Lemuria and Atlantis came to war. And that the Atlantis hierarchy developed an aristocratic society that started to manipulate and dominate its populace, very similar to what's happening now, right? And it came to war, and the Orion faction detonated the nuclear device that you can still see the glass on the Gobi Desert. So they basically wiped out. They basically pushed the failsafe button and wiped everything out because the light was starting to wake up. The populace starting to wake up and understand that they were being manipulated. And rather than have that happen, they decided to hit their failsafe and wipe everything out and start over and do a reset in hopes that they can achieve their goals in this cycle. So what you're seeing now is the Orion agenda, the same agenda they had in Atlantis, repeating itself in our current time structure, you know, where they're trying to dominate. They got the puppet strings. They're manipulating our reality. They're manipulating our geopolitical, geoeconomic, our spiritualism, our health of this planet, you know, who we are. They're completely in dominance of our race. They were. But we are now waking up. So, and what's happening here is that all the nuclear devices and that ever happening is not going to occur, because that's an overage, and they're basically nullifying that effect. But we are playing out the same agenda that was played out in Atlantis. So what happened was who came to our show was the Elven race, the Tuathans, which are very much a part of Atlantis and Lemuria, basically retreated to Siberia, which was a stronghold, was an outpost. And then most of them had to go underground, you know, because the radiation was too intense, you know. And those who suffered the radiation basically endured what was known as and termed as the plague. So here we are 8,000 years later in the same conundrum where the Dark Orion agenda is no longer having effect. It's failing. It's failing because people are waking up, cutting the puppet strings, excuse me here, And we're going into now that this next 4 months is going to be, I cannot see, I would dare anybody to see past November at this point, because what's happening is that there's so many timelines that are converging in the Dark Night of the Soul versus people waking up versus people being able to adjust themselves to their true self-mastery of their passion and realizing that they've been duped, really realizing they're a fish out of water, they're in a construct or a timeline that doesn't suit them, that they're seeing the false flags, and they're pouring on. We already had another shooting, and they're already saying that the second wave is occurring in Beijing. I mean, this is their strings. They're trying to attach strings onto us, you know, to keep us in this dystopia, to keep us in chaos. This is what's going to happen now for the next 4 months. You're going to see a milieu and a plethora of these false flags. So what's important here is not to engage, because they're trying to engage you in their 3D density, because that's where they exist. We're waking up into 4D and 5D. We're leaving this density. They're trying to keep us locked in and stapled in. They're trying to keep us hammered into this density by creating chaos, confusion, dystopia, this huge web of deceit. They're trying to snare us. You know, and this is their game plan. This is the same game plan they played out in Atlantis. Same one. So, but we as a race, mankind, have taken a grandeur step by facing this and waking up into this new precept of our passion, of our self-mastery, of being able, like you were pointing out, Keith, finding that 0 point in time, being in that moment of just ecstasy. And by doing this, by just holding ground, holding true to who you are, you're doing more good than you can realize, because you're grounding that energy, the energetics, which is going to diffuse and literally implode this altruistic trap that the Orions and Dracos have set for us. So next 4 months, on guard. You got to be on guard in your vanguard here, man. You got to be on guard not to get entrapped. You have to disengage. Find yourself that you can use it as a way to analyze what's happening, but don't buy into the trap. Over.
All right, Doc Who or Conrad, any comments? I certainly have one.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
All righty. So that was beautiful. Thank you. That it always goes back for me is that our best actually, I would posit that our really only course of action to defeat this dark forces is our own internal awakening. Once we stop buying their narrative, the illusion they want to project on us, it all dissolves, and we stop giving them energy because they survive on our energy. They have hoodwinked us into literally forging our own chains. So that's my view. I mean, certainly doesn't mean don't do external action. I mean, I do a radio show to try to help lift consciousness, you know, do the best that of my limited skills and abilities. Anyway, we've been joined by another wonderful friend, Bruce McDonald. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Keith. Hey, Conrad. Hey, Viking. Great show. Hey, I also saw that Catherine Austin Fitz interview on USA Watchdog, and it really is kind of chilling, eh? Like, I've never seen her so... She actually used the term spiritual warfare, and I highly recommend everybody tune into that, you know, Greg Hunter, USA Watchdog. And Catherine Austin Fitz is one of the best economic voices in the alternative community. As for what we're going through and how to cope with it, how to behave and what to do, I would just say ditto to what Viking said. He's 100% right. And look, man, I'm just going to say it. It doesn't matter if you get killed. you gotta die anyways. But what this game is about now is getting your consciousness to stay in the game, and get you cycling into their negativity. And this might be the only opportunity we've had to break free of this cycle for like millennia, for like before Atlantis. What's going on the planet now is unprecedented. There is, you can make the analogy that it's an Atlantis redo. And I would say the Atlantis redo is folded up into this, the same tests that we had in Atlantis. But it's even bigger than that. It's even bigger than that. And if we succeed, it's going to become a model, and it's going to ripple out everywhere to all the people living in this 3D, because they're also dealing with this negativity, not to the intensity that planet Earth is. But Viking is 100% right, not engagement. You have to be like really zen about this. You have to be really in your own space and centered in yourself and connected to spirit, source, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call it. And it's going to, and from a Christian perspective, you better really have faith. Don't be pretending you have faith. The Bible isn't a multiple choice test. It doesn't matter how well you understand the scripture. It's designed to bring a state of mind where you can live with uncertainty, because you know something's got your back in this phase of existence and in after we die. Over.
Man, really beautifully put, Bruce. Anybody want to respond?
Yeah, I'll respond a little bit to what Bruce is saying at the end there. That is, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that means we will have to stand on our own and believe that we are not alone.
Yeah. You see, to my sensibilities, the way this whole system works out, which is very layered in terms of dimensions, and it's fair and it's just. And a lot of what's been done to the human race since World War II, I mean, there was a lot of trauma that we still haven't digested from World War II. You know, we didn't go into a postmodern society after World War II. We went into a postmortem society. That's why there's no more beauty. There's no more harmony. Everything, even in classical music, it's all dissonance now. And then in popular music, it's basically just, you know, sex, drugs, and murder, you know, except for a few exceptions. When we enter into these patterns of behavior, we forfeit protection. And this is what the trick of the negatives is, to get us behaving in such a way that we're not protected from these things. Because you forfeit protection when your behavior, ethical, moral, and all of these things don't meet a certain threshold. You forfeit your protection. And that's what they're trying to do. And the higher the tension goes, the more you're going to see people just popping off. And you can see it already in the people around you. I mean, people are just popping off. You know, they can't deal with the energy. It's like, you know, trying not to flinch when somebody is swinging a baseball bat and it's just going a half inch in front of your nose, full speed in the arc. It's, you know, but you got to not flinch.
Well, let me, does anybody else want to respond, Viking or Conrad? Because I did, there is something I do want to respond to, but I want to be sure we're running out of show here. Well, we still got pretty much time. Anybody else want to respond to Bruce for at this time? Okay, well, let me interrupt me, anybody, if you want to, but let me just say something about faith, because I hear that a lot, and I'm always like, I don't have any faith. I don't need it. I don't need any armor you know, between me and that knowledge. But then, you know, I've really, when I talk about spiritual discipline, I have walked the walk. I'm not just repeating something out of a book. And as a result of, you know, 4 decades and obviously all the past lifetimes I've ever had in spiritual pursuits, of which who knows how many countless incarnations that we all go through, or at least, you know, in my, many of you will probably say, no, that's not true. I mean, you know, that's a whole nother discussion about past lives. But at any rate, with the spiritual discipline and in attaining high levels of consciousness, I've gone to connections where I'm so dialed in. You don't need any armor anymore. And listen, you guys may totally disagree with, which is fine. But I mean, for me, it's a level of knowingness. I absolutely know that I'm a spark of the original creator. So there's no danger. As you said, Bruce, you're going to die sometime. Better live, make your life, you know, really use it and take opportunities. Don't be afraid to go out on a limb and all that. I don't know. Any thoughts, anybody?
Yeah, okay. Courage.
What's that?
Courage. You have to have courage now. And when I spoke about faith, I was speaking to the Christians, right? You know, you really got to have your faith in place. You got to have that relationship with the unseen. But right. I lean more to where you're coming from. I'd rather know. I'd rather, as you say, do the inner work and figure it out. And it's all real. We live in a spiritual reality. You're in the middle of a spiritual war now. And if you don't understand that, wow, I don't know what to say. I mean, this is what was so shocking about, you know, the Catherine Austin Fitz interview with Greg Hunter, is just how candid. I've never heard her that candid before. And it's so dark. It's so deadpan the way she delivers it, like the head accountant sent up from hell. Okay, here are the books. You know?
Yeah.
And it's just like there's no emotion and you're just going, oh my God. You know, that. And now we'll just give people some of the highlights, Keith. The states and townships, the municipalities, are in massive debt right now. And that debt is different than federal debt, because the states and the municipalities, they don't have the power of Congress to generate revenue, right? Like the executive level does, or like Congress does, like the federal level does. So when your states and your towns are going bankrupt, it manifests very quickly. How would it manifest? Less ambulances, less police, all of these things. Plus you couple this with the defunding of the police and everything. And I mean, what we're witnessing right now, in my opinion, is the literal component of the symbolic expression of 9/11. The symbolic expression of 9/11 was, you know, the two World Trade Centers in Building 7, but Building 7 was an adjunct to their plan. That was just Larry Silverstein getting a few shekels in his pocket while it was going on. But the symbolism of those two towers, both in tarot cards and what they represent, was a clear message and a warning to anyone who was awake that this, not just America, but the whole Western world, this is going to be a controlled demolition. And in a weird way, the other side always tells you what they're going to do. It can be indirect. You're not going to get it from Don Lemming on CNN. You know, okay, it's time for the controlled demolition of the United States. But that's precisely what's going on. You know, I picked up on it years ago, and I highly recommend autonomy, because you're only in jeopardy to the degree that you have a relationship with their systems. So the more autonomous you are, the better off you're going to be. You know, it'll be interesting as the vaccines come out to see if any exceptions are given. I'll bet you Native Americans are given an exception. I mean, here, the Cree, the Delaware, the Apache, and things like that. anywhere you see people living autonomously on their own land, and the reason this is sacrosanct is it's the original contract with man. It's the garden. If you go and you have your own well and you grow a large part of your own food and you redact yourself from their system, your survival factor goes up tenfold. I know people are tired of hearing me say that, but it's true. Over.
Any comments, anybody?
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
You know, even the most advanced galactics prefer a tribal living. If they prefer a direct relationship with, their particular planet, here's Gaia. You know, the cycle of the planet, you know, going into its planting cycle, its harvest cycle, it's the ceremony, the validation, the nurturing of life itself. I mean, they literally will have all of these, advanced technologies. But they prefer tribal living. They prefer being in commune and being in the sanctity and the sacredness of being at one with nature. Okay, this is like we run the gauntlet, and and all the way to the point where we realize that being at one with one another. In a simple lifestyle, as Bruce is pointing out, where you can manifest an abundance, where a skill set, skill craft, and skill art that you can add to the abundance is preferred. it's kind of a dystopia to think that you can get distracted with technology to make your life better here. It really is a distraction. I just want to point this out here. Looking at the Orion agenda, which is bled into the deep state. I go back to the movie Tombstone, which is one of my favorite movies. And you have Doc Holliday here trying to explain, I'm going to read this quote here. A man like Ringo has got a great big hole right in the middle of him. He can never kill enough or steal enough or inflict enough pain to ever fill it. What does he need? Revenge. And this is the deep state's agenda. They're at that point where they've been exposed, so they're revengeful. They are going to like absolutely pull out every trick and every agenda their playbook has to offer. They are in a lower density, right? If you're going to be locked into that density and start to be affected by them, or if you're going to be listening, as I said, if you're listening to lamestream media, you might as well throw your mind into a wood chipper because it's going to shred your reality. It's going to keep you in chaos, pain, and suffering. That's what they're tethering. That's the puppet strings that they are manipulating you with. Is their agenda. Their agenda is chaos, pain, and suffering, subjugation, slavery. And this is their density. We are splitting densities. We are in year zero. We are between two worlds. Two paradigms of existence. How we choose in the next 4 months is critical. Because when we come up to November, we're going to be slamming into a brick wall here. The Democratic Party is going to be literally at their wits' end. And where we go from there is going to be neutrality. We have to find an omniversal expression of disclosure, prosperity, and that we all want to live, as Bruce is pointing out, in this tribal setting where we all act as one unit to add to the beneficial manifestation of our existence. Where do you choose? How are you, place your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Where do you want to stay in this dystopia and look at it as doomsday? This is the end of the world? Well, that is your bet. I'm betting on the fact that we're going to make it as humanity. We're going to wake up and take control of our destiny.
I want to pick up on your point, Viking, about that are pulling out all the stops. And yes, absolutely. They would rather turn over the board than lose the game, you know. But they won't be allowed to. And in fact, the fact that we have not seen any nuclear detonations, and they may be able to pull off some. I'm not ruling that out.
No. The Galactics are definitely are reviewing that as an overage, and that's not going to happen.
I don't think it is either. I'm just saying, they will. They've probably tried a number of times and have been thwarted. And I believe they will be. Either the thing just won't detonate, or whatever. You know, some whatever scenario it plays.
The codes are scrambled.
Right. Whatever. But that's why I was saying earlier, what they do is very revealing of what their strengths and weaknesses are and what they're able to do. They're going to, and as I said earlier, I believe that some of the sources are correct in that. And of course, they've been laying the groundwork for this in their narrative, a second wave of COVID, which actually some are saying will be actually their upgraded, you know, their lab has been busy, making up what they hope will be a much more virulent infection. I do think that is in the process, and how I think that'll be mostly thwarted as well, as far as its virulence. But you know, they'll come up with all their second reasons. I mean, defunding the police department, are you kidding me? God, do you ever been in a position I have where you're so glad there are cops, you know, when you need them and you call them because there's some bad shit going down. This is insanity. And Bruce, Catherine say, correct me if I've misheard this, but that the thing is with the states and local and jurisdiction type stuff, they're mandated to balance their budget, right? Didn't she say that, Bruce? You still with us? I think Bruce dropped off. I guess he just wanted to. Anyway, that was, I believe, I may watch that interview with Catherine again. It's only about 30 minutes long. And, you know, it just shows you she is so darn smart. And she's kind of on the border of being actual mainstream, having served as Undersecretary of the Housing and Urban Development. And that in the Pentagon, according to her reporting, is where the really huge trillion-dollar level of their shenanigans goes on of, disappearing. Just think of all that money, if that had been going into infrastructure and urban renewal, and if we had there's so many areas to talk on about this. Let me just see if Conrad or Viking have any comments they want to add at this time. Or Daku, sorry.
Yeah, I'll say something about defunding the police. When I served in the military, I was in the Coast Guard. Can you imagine defunding the Coast Guard search and rescue? So then you're out in a boat, your boat is sinking, your family's on board, and you call the Coast Guard, and they reply, oh, we've been defunded. We don't have enough gasoline to come out and tow you back in. You'll just have to sink. I mean, it's the same police. It's the same exact situation with the police on the people, police and people on the streets. When you call 911, you need somebody to show up, somebody that's trained to deal with the situation. And whatever it is, there's hundreds of different situations that the police have to be able to deal with. And there's really nobody else that's going to come out and do that. It's enough said, huh?
Well, this whole thing is a psyop, because if you look at really what's happening here, 8 African Americans died that were unarmed. 8 shot by police. 8. 8. 350 million people. 8. Hundreds of policemen have been shot and killed from gang warfare in the same situation here. You know, this is a psyop. It's a psyop that's been weaponized to create an agenda that doesn't exist. Are you going to believe this to be true? Well, then that is your timeline. This is not mine. I see the algorithms. I see the, I do my research. I'm really clear that this is not happening. They weaponized this. They weaponized it to the point to create this dystopia, to create this segregation, to create this subjugation of mankind, to keep it in this density. They are literally just absolutely stranglehold on trying to keep us in their density of dystopia. We are awakening into a different paradigm, and this was freaking them out, because if enough of us awaken, they will implode.
They will lose their food source. So it's literally survival. And I'm talking beyond the level of the globalist banking, private banking cartels. I'm talking at the non-physical entities that are survive on human misery. So, yeah, if you first of all, you know, have faith in yourself that you are the light, the spark of the spark of creation. You are a fractal of the all, and have connection to source, universal creator, God, whatever term you'd like to use, universal love, which in my opinion is actually what the very fabric of reality is. The fact that we have a universe at all, you know, the scientists go to, well, there was a big bang and there was the singularity and it came together and spewed out unbelievable galaxies and superclusters of galaxies and this whole unfathomable universe that we can't even see the edges of. And Bruce's comment was great. You know, I think he touched on something that I think Viking and Conrad and I believe Doc, who you and I all agree with, and that is that this is not just Earth that's going, you know, through this process. It's at the very least an entire galactic awakening. And I'd be interested to hear maybe Viking, if you have any thoughts on that.
We are terraforming a brand new expression of life. We are at this point in this convergence of time into non-time, with our particular ability to awaken, to understand our true self-mastery of our passion, with our affinities and attributes of our Akashic memory, and knowing how we can add to the benevolence of humanity, you know, our sensuality, our creative arts, our sexuality. It's rippling out into our universe and to the galaxy at large, and into the multiverses. As we upgrade, we are literally forcing these galactic races to go through an audit as well. It's called an audit. We're auditing our precept of how we negotiate life. We are literally rippling. We're throwing a stone into a pond. It's creating this undulation of ones and zeros that's unprecedented. Unprecedented. You know, we are upgrading how the galactic races are able to negotiate life.
You know, it's funny, the ones and zeros. I just occurred to me, one analysis of them, it's sort of like the linear and the nonlinear, or the left brain and the right brain, or the ego and the heart. The logic and the intuition, or as I would posit, space and no space. So there is the physical manifestation of reality, which theoretically is finite, right? But if you analyze it back to it being consciousness, then no, it's as infinite as we can imagine. I used to say to people, you know, they'd ask me, hey, what's going on? I'd say, everything. If you can imagine it, it's happening, and that's only a tiny, tiny slice of the pie there of what all that there is. But I love what you said, Viking, about how we're terraforming a new reality, and so we really are embarking on expressing really the creative mind of God, which of course each of us is a fractal of the one. And so I think you're correct, Viking, in that it really is what we're experiencing is the birth of a new vibration. And that's why I continue to emphasize, if you want things to get better in the world, get better in yourself. It's like that comic I relayed, I think, last week or recently that, you know, who wants change? I do. Well, who wants to change? Well, you know, I'm kind of busy right now. but that's, I believe, where we really have to manifest it. And that's why I don't buy into the gloom and the doom. If you want to keep, putting those images before your attention, you will be assisting in manifesting it. It's not hide your eyes from it. It's interesting, Viking, also speaking about pulling out all the stops. And Conrad, you may want to comment on this, or Doc Who as well. Because their arsenal of the dark cabal is running low. I mean, they've been throwing everything at him. The Russia investigation was supposed to take down Trump. The impeachment was supposed to take him down. The COVID is supposed to take him down. And it's only making him stronger. And that's because he's using their energy against them. Very kung fu, right? It looks, according to Simon Parks, and I think Mike Barra also mentioned this, is that their inside sources are telling them that they're reconsidering both Project Bluebeam, but also a Second Coming, using their holographic technology to simulate either an alien invasion, and then so, well, we all got to buckle down, you know, that you better stay inside now or the Martians will get you. But the other one is trying to manifest a Second Coming, and they've rejected those previously because they don't see them working, and I don't see them working either. It's just in this day and age, we're just breaking down all their ploys too fast, and the internet has become their worst enemy because we're all talking to each other and we're saying, yeah, watch out for this kind of thing, and certainly they'll fool a lot of people. If a big image of Jesus appeared over Jerusalem or something like that, and then there was all these healings or who knows, I mean, because they've there's no doubt in my mind the dark cabal's got very advanced life enhancement technology to the point where they could probably manifest, you know, what appears to be miracles and such, or even just have their paid actors pretend that I can walk now, you know, who knows. I don't know that these are going to happen in the next 4 months, but I mean, that's the level of scraping the bucket I think they're in right now. Any other thoughts?
Sure. I'd like to see him try the Second Coming, because from my information, the Starship, which is been in orbit for most of the, it's called the New Jerusalem. And as far as the information coming across, JC's body from when he was, his body was put in stasis and it's still available to reincarnate. So they tried the Second Coming, he could just say, hey, that's not me. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
And the same thing with the UFOs. See, if they deployed their holograms and used their particle beam weapons or whatever technology to simulate an attack from aliens when it was really being orchestrated, what aliens are still left in the dark cabal that haven't already been vacated because the good aliens came in and said, you bad aliens, you know, you got to let Earth figure it out for themselves. It's no longer your playground, right? So now we have a great deal more self-determination. But if they did try to pull that stunt, you know, suppose a 2 mile big triangle like flew over Phoenix appeared, and then since then it was a public disclosure that yes, aliens are real, and then really aliens will say, well, that's an op, you know. and because it would be genuine. And when you meet an alien, I mean, it's not like we were talking about turning down the internal mind chatter. Well, the really advanced ones have turned it down to the point where it's off. And they're just operating from a completely different level. And so when you meet them and you look into their eyes, you're just like stunned. You're like, whoa. And you feel this, all this stuff in yourself. You feel like you're being examined because the being isn't operating from judgment anymore. It's really seeing you who you are, and you're feeling that as you're in their presence. So it's a trip. So again, both those scenarios, just as you said, Conrad, well, the real Jesus just shows up and says, ah, that ain't me. Or the real aliens say, hey, this is, you know, we're actually very nice. And, you know, this is just a false flag or what have you. That's my opinion anyway on both of those potentials. And so what else could they pull out? Well, yeah, they got the second COVID. Yes, they would like to do some kind of, you know, what they would blame on, you know, they would want to blame it on a white supremacist, right? It would be saying, I see all those guys that listen to Alex Jones, they're terrorists, you know, and try to project what they're really doing onto those of us that are really seeking to liberate ourselves. Any thoughts? Anybody want to chime in?
Yeah, I'll chime in a little bit. Before we run out of time here, my information, my folks, my people, my alien friends say that their blue beam equipment is malfunctioning. They can't get it to work right. So I think we don't have to worry about any of that or be concerned. And the other thing is that I haven't brought up is that the underground bases are still being destroyed, and they're also discovering free energy devices in some of these underground bases. So it's already in use. And the other thing is Trump spent $500 million training our troops, certain of our troops, in underground warfare. And they're not using regular bullets. They're using
1.2 billion.
What's that? Say again.
He allocated 1.2 billion for special forces to train his tunnel rats.
Yeah. 1.2. I didn't remember the exact number.
And you're saying the bullets? They're using different bullets.
No, they're using advanced weaponry.
Right, they're not using guns.
Not the conventional.
It's sound wave. It's radar sound wave technology.
Yeah.
They probably got all kinds of advanced toys. They probably got rail guns and particle beam weapons and all kinds. Who knows what they got? Scalar. You know, the good guys are I mean, I'm telling you, everybody, this is, you know, me tapping into the morphogenetic field and saying, God, this is so awesome what is happening right now. They're going deep into these underground bases and tunnels. That's interesting, Conrad, your point that they're liberating some of their free energy technology. That's awesome. In Trump's second term, I'm certain that part of the economic rejuvenation is going to be the release of, at the very least, at some of these, and maybe really extraordinary ones. But at the very least, there's going to be advanced medical and energy technology released to the public.
There's already been 5,000 patents released.
Yeah, and one of them was an anti-gravity technology patent from the Navy February before last, I mean. Well, anyway, we are coming up towards the end of the show. And as always, I want to be sure anybody gets any last words out to the audience. It sounds like, Doc, you kind of got that. But is there anything else, first of all, that you want to add, my friend?
Yeah, I was going to. I forgot.
What's that?
I forgot what it was already.
Well, chime in if you think of it. There's still okay. A little time. How about Conrad? Any final thoughts for this evening?
Well, the White Hats are saying on the military site that there's so many ships of their fleet that are, including our fleet, you know, U.S. Navy has a secret space program. We have
large contingent there too that can go in and out of the solar system at will. But you know, they're thinking if it at the right crucial point, they can just decloak all the ships all around the globe in lower Earth orbit, where you can just look up and from any spot on Earth, you can see 10 to 100 or 1,000 ships. That would kind of end the guessing of, are we the only intelligent life in the universe? We could then ask, are we one of the intelligent lives in the universe? I want them to land at Safeway, you know, and have their ships open for inspection. Some people still won't believe it, though.
Well, so many people are having alien communications, positive, well, negative ones too, for that matter. That has not ended, although it's been largely, I think, dealt with. Yeah, that's one thing we may see. Big 10-mile, big mothership decloaking over Washington, D.C. And saying, hey, you guys, you know, it's childhood's end here. That you're part of a galactic community and you've got a choice if you want to go with the dark vibration or open your hearts. Viking, any ending things you and, of course, tell us about your show, of course.
Well, that will be the third wave awakening. You know, the first and second wave have awoken and are awakening. The third wave will take a major world domination of attention, and it's either going to be, I'm not sure which is first, but they have this rainbow wave that's going to be coming in that literally will terraform our consciousness, or you'll wake up and you will see, you know, the galactic ships in the sky. That will basically cause because people are wondering, you know, is my family, is my wife or spouse can awaken, and the third wave will awaken simultaneously within 24 hours with this galactic presence. I believe that this will actually happen not till probably 2024, but it's gonna occur. You know, and Trump's already has acknowledged the existence of Area 51 and of alien and galactic technology that's occurring there. So, you know, he's slowly letting his information out. So Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Conrad, myself, and Christopher Jacobs have a show on Revolution Radio called the Galactic Interstellar Council, down the rabbit hole, Galactic Perspective. And we talk about the current you know, what we're experiencing here as far as the energetics and how we are terraforming and transforming and transmuting into this splitting of the densities.
Well, Viking, I got a question for you, probably the most suitable person to ask. And I heard that the Galactics obliterated a Chinese space fleet in a certain quadrant that they wanted to take over. Do you know about it?
I have no information about that, no. I'm not even sure the Chinese have a space fleet. I would very much doubt that actually exists. I've never in my entirety ever heard that the Chinese have a space fleet. I doubt that's even true.
Well, let me make a comment. You know, you've got to remember that there are transnational corporations, and you know, obviously China was chosen as being a being a manufacturing giant and taking all our, you know, that was part of the attack on America, was to move our manufacturing offshore. So it's believable to me that elements within the Chinese Communist Party, in conjunction with these massive transnational corporations that have their dark, scientists and all that stuff. So it's conceivable to me that that's possible, Doku. And that sort of thing is happening, because this dark agenda isn't just for planet Earth. So at any rate, so I just want to reiterate, I want to go back to Conrad, what you opened the show with after I gave my little monologue was about, you know, connecting to our higher selves and the kind of the thread I've been talking about tonight. And it goes back to I can always talk about music, and I've been recording a lot, and I've really made advances, particularly in recording my acoustic and my bass guitar. But the one device that has really made my melodic playing, my lead guitar playing, really to a new level, is a little distortion box from JHS called a PG-14. It stands for Paul Gilbert, and the size of his shoe, 14. But the thing has an amazing sound, simulating the power amp stage of an old tube amp being pushed to its very limits. It's just as cool as all sound. I think of Jimi Hendrix, with his Marshalls cranked. But it uses a device called a field effect transistor. And so it operates differently from a gate type of transistor, an NPN, doped semiconductors. It operates by field effect instead. Of the amplification stage. And so that's what I'm suggesting each of us does, is to, again, focus on, you want to see change in the world, see what opportunities that shows you in yourself, because as you do that, you actually increase your light, your aura gets brighter and more filled in. Some of us have gaps in our auras or dark spots from traumas and stuff like that. As you do that deep and not fun, by the way, dealing especially the shadow work, it's no fun, right? We've kind of got to realize that we've got to do it, but as you do that, and then you get on a roll, much like a snowball rolling down a hill, the momentum gets bigger and bigger and things get easier and easier. Of course, you then are faced with even greater and greater challenges, but you have kind of that self-knowledge that, if you apply yourself, that you have a potential to turn that challenge into a gift. So generate your field. Try to not let the stuff overwhelm you. Happiness is the greatest vengeance, I think somebody once said, or something to that effect. And radiate that, because we really, really do condense reality out of our imagination. So imagine that type of world you want to find yourself in.
So imagine the prophet John Lennon said, if everybody on this planet imagined and visualized world peace, we would be in world peace, right?
Thanks, everybody. See y'all next time. Good night.
Bye, guys.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable, I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning, and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne, and I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and